Hi, everyone. This is Brenda. I'm so excited to be here and follow Robert Camp's show. I'm such a fan of his. And, Robert, I am a nine of spades. I'm not sure what that means in particular for today, but I know that this is a perfect time to be doing this, and I'm really excited to be here. This is the Meeting Brenda Speed Coaching Program. I'm a personal coach, and I really want to help you create a life that works. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My passion is really helping people transform their lives into one that they love. So many folks today are just what I call living a just-okay life and want more than that. And they do see others enjoying life more and wonder how they can ever get there too. I do something called coach core energy coaching, so I can tell you where you are energetically and what needs to happen for you to shift into a better place. Now, when you think about the majority of people are really feeling sorry for themselves, they're victims of circumstance, and then you have others that have moved out of all that feeling and they're actually really angry about things. You know the kind of people I'm talking about, the road rage people or those complainers waiting in line at the market. They're always mad at something or other, and the good news is that once you're aware of where you are energetically, you can flip your switch, as I call it, and feel better right away. This show will always begin with a guest coach who has a special type of client they work with, and then I'll follow them up and coach the callers. My guest today is Ruth Rounds of Minneapolis. Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you, Brenda. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Well, we've worked together quite a bit before, and I really believe that Ruth is a great career coach. So if you would just tell us a little bit about yourself to get us going.
Sure. I have been working and helping people for about 25 years of all ages, realizing their dreams, dealing with the stress of work and life transitions, and exploring new career, work, and life options. So it's real exciting for me to be on your show to help you launch your big dream, your own radio show, and provide some speed coaching opportunities to your radio audience.
Well, I appreciate that because you've been hearing about this now for a long time, and it's finally come to fruition, so this is just a fun night. Okay, well, let's get to work, and I'll explain to you what we're going to do. We will actually, I will always do a speed coaching session, which takes about 7 minutes, and I want you to, when you call in, I want you to tell us in 1 to 2 sentences, really in a nutshell, what we can help you with today. And by the way, we might interrupt you to get to the heart of it more quickly. So when you call in, I'm going to summarize what it is that your issue is and then turn it over to Ruth. So Ruth, is there, I was just curious about what you're dealing with right now in your coaching practice as far as people in this, considering what the state of the economy is and whatnot. What's their main concern? Are they out of work or are they just so overworked because of the lack of, they've let so many people go that people are just like swamped, just overwhelmed at work. What do you think is the main thing right now?
Well, I think you're right on that there are lots of people who are looking for work and others that have way too much work on their plate because of the downsizing efforts that have been done. The reality is that everybody has challenges, whatever point in their work life they are, and how to help them deal with the stresses. So one of the things I have really embraced is the work of Anna Miller-Tiedemann about career and life. And she has done a lot of research and developed a theory on quantum career, which includes some key principles of accepting life and work as it is and understanding that life is a series of right and left turns, not right and wrong turns.
Uh-huh.
And by having that kind of a life attitude, you can reduce some of your stress and appreciate that there are so many things outside of your control and influence. But when you see your work life or your general life going in a direction that is uncomfortable for you, or for example, if you're out of work, that you don't beat up on yourself too badly and get yourself into a tailspin. Uh-huh. But if you are dealing with a downsizing effort or, again, as you were expressing, Brenda, too much work at work, then you might also have to have the patience and take a step back and realize that this may be a short-term reality and what is most important for you in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people think that they're, and I think maybe this is from the way we were brought up, you know, in the olden days where you had a career and you stayed in the same job for 40 years and then you retired. And now people are having to take all these detours and alternate routes, so to speak, and are really still thinking in that old model that there's only one way to get there. And we know there's not.
Yes, I agree
sure
that
not.
You know, to stay focused on what you value, what's important to you, and be patient then that it takes time to mm-hmm. materialize some of that.
Well,
and I think your big dream tonight, as
yeah.
we both know, has taken a little time, but you haven't lost your focus.
No. I think the first time I wanted to do this was in August of 2008 that I decided that I wanted to coach a lot of people versus, individuals, just because I thought that, you know how when you read a book and it's very moving for you, it doesn't have to be your story, but you can always get a lot more out of hearing about other people's experiences. And, you know, there's something in everybody's story that we can all relate to. So the fact that people won't all, you know, not everyone can call in, they'll still get some benefit out of listening to where other people are and realize that there are other solutions and other directions and, like I said, other roads that they can take and still be comfortable and, you know, feel successful about it.
And one of the pieces that I think you expressed so well, Brenda, is that we are in community with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're dealing with a stressful work transition or the challenge of the present economy or whatever the issues are, is to continue to reach out and ask for support
mm-hmm.
and ideas from each other, because there isn't anybody who's made it really on their own. That as things
absolutely.
Evolve and change,
right.
We all have had people who have supported us and possibly given us an idea or a new contact or whatever. So part of the process that I encourage my clients to use is one that involves just having a kind of a friendly little story to share about your life and
mm-hmm.
what your dreams are or what you're motivated to do right now, so that other
mm-hmm.
people can link into that and share that dream and give you some new ideas for it.
Yeah, I think in some sense this recession or whatever it is we're calling it has really, I don't know, I mean, I realize that it's competitive, but I think it's also a very, a lot more supportive environment, as you mentioned, just because I might hear about a job lead from someone and pass it on to someone, and if it doesn't work for them, they pass it on as well. So it's a, people are definitely, I think, being a lot more helpful. They might be, you know, there might be more than one candidate for a job, but, you know, I believe that if it's the right place for you to be, you'll be there. So it's a loss. Certainly it is to your ego if you don't get hired, but it's not the end of the world and the right thing will pop up. So that's the way I look at it.
Right. So I as you were talking, I was thinking about the whole piece in quantum physics about complementarity.
Uh-huh.
And how if you pay attention to one thing, you miss other things. So as we work together and have multiple minds focused on the dream and the idea
uh-huh.
of the ideas of each other, then we're more likely to realize it, because together we can see more things and consider more things.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the other piece that struck me as you were talking is that it's not all about me. You were talking about how, you know, there's a place for each person, and you just have to wait
right.
to see when
yeah.
something will come together for yourself. And so one of the biggest challenges that I have experienced with clients is they get so down on themselves because mm-hmm. they think it's all their fault that they haven't gotten the job, or mm-hmm. They just aren't good enough.
Right.
And the reality is, even in the early 80s when I was working with college students and the job market wasn't so hot for them, and in the 81, 82 period of time, is that we joined together in groups and mm-hmm. shared the job leads because somebody in the group might be the best choice for each mm-hmm. one of those positions, and because they had a quantity of positions to work at and look at when they work together, they increased their odds of getting one of these positions.
Oh yeah,
that
that's a great idea. Plus, you know what? If you got a job at a place that I wanted to work, I feel pretty confident that you'd hire me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get that job.
That's right. Yeah, because you do bring in people that you know.
Oh,
and recommend people.
I have never had a job. I have never gotten a job unless it's through someone I know. I've never had a job that I found in the paper. It's always because of someone I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. And sometimes that someone you know you met 20 years ago, but when you and obviously you have to stay in touch with people, when you contact them again, they're always very, they remember you in a positive light, and anyone would rather hire someone that they know versus someone that's an unknown entity. So I think there's a lot mm-hmm. to be said for that.
You know, the other thing that fits where our work fits together is this whole thing about flipping your switch.
Uh-huh.
Because in career work, uh-huh. I'm just going to tell one story, is that somebody who had difficulty getting started after graduating from college for about 10 years hung on to that feeling that she was unable to find her first job after college, never feeling good about herself, till I helped her change the paradigm. And the paradigm switch was flipped on and said, hey, you know what? Those were economic hard times for new grads. There weren't a lot of opportunities out there. And even though I had 60-plus interviews and didn't get any of those positions, I'm still okay because now, 10 years later, I am in a job that I like. But for about 10 years, she stuck with that old agenda that she wasn't quite good enough. But as soon as she heard me talk about the realities of the time, back when, then she was able to flip her switch and start a new story, a new kind of thinking about her ability to be able to achieve her dreams and the ideas for her work and for her life.
So how did you coach her to shift her thinking?
I just made her aware of realities, because
uh-huh.
career is oftentimes who am I and what are the realities out there, and it's the blending of those two that create the possibilities in the moment.
Mm.
And for her to have that new perspective on that old reality that has kind of stuck in, you know, she hadn't been paying enough attention to that part of the equation. She said, oh, you saved my life when you told me that. Because she was able to flip her switch and think differently about herself.
This makes a good case for when you were talking about doing things in groups and whatnot. This makes a great case for doing group coaching, because it's so synergistic, and especially in an environment like, you know, a bunch of job seekers. I think it's a great forum for to do group coaching, and then they can pass off their leads to each other and be really, really supportive, because they're all in the same track.
Right. And so if you can get out of that feeling of competition with
uh-huh.
each other and think that you'll all win by working together,
mm-hmm.
that's the big paradigm shift of the group work, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, it's just like being envious of someone. It's like you don't all have the same skill set. You don't all have the same personality. I mean, certainly there are more than one possibility for a job, but I mean, really, there most likely is one person who is a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
and then that trust that there will also be a place for you,
right? Because usually, in my experience, if it doesn't, if you don't get that job offer, it's like maybe 6 months later you hear something really bad about the company or the boss that you were going to work for or something like that. I mean, it's just, you know, when the time is right, something will fall into place. But it is really, really hard not to be discouraged, and that's where that supportive group comes in, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, hindsight, you can see where something that you maybe had desired in terms of a paid work position or other things in your life, when you look back on it, you can see that it wasn't as good a fit as maybe something else that came along a little bit later. But it's very hard to be patient, and it's very hard to stay in the present moment so you don't worry, get all stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's being in the present moment, patience and trust are critical, I think, to the process.
And I think that's where a good coach comes in, because they can, you know, they can, you can help people stay on track, because we all get, once you're around a bunch of negative people and, you know, you're looking at your checkbook and the numbers are going down, I mean, it's a really scary place to be. And once you get on that slippery slope, you really are in trouble. You know, once you get down into that rut, it's really, really hard to get out of. And then, you know, being in the rut with the rut dwellers, as we call them, is not a good place to be, because then that just, the bad feelings just, you know, double and quadruple and whatever. So it's a difficult place to be. But I know I personally have dodged bullets on jobs that I didn't get, and thank God, because I would have been miserable. And then, you know, maybe it took 6 months for the right one to come along, but it did. And I certainly could have used somebody watching my back, because you get in this, like I said, you start talking about the woe is me stuff with a bunch of people, and that's, you know, really detrimental to your, you know, your emotional and everything else well-being, don't you think?
Yeah, and this whole thing about woe is me is so hard to stay out of. But if you can, and I know we slip into, you can have some moments, right?
Uh-huh.
And
oh,
have kind of a cheer squad if others can help you pull out of it. And again, like I said earlier, bring yourself into the moment so you can get out of worrying so much.
Uh-huh.
But the other piece of the woe with me is you don't present yourself very well in interviews.
Oh,
when you're down on yourself.
Not. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the motivation to stay out of that place.
Right.
Even if you feel like you're faking it till you make it kind of thing, it's better to stay towards the possibility and the opportunities whenever you can, especially in your preparation and during an interview,
mm-hmm.
even though
mm-hmm.
you might have had a down day, you know, 2 days before.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we have a caller from New Mexico on the line, and it's Robert. So, Robert, how are you?
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Do you want to work with Ruth for a few minutes and see if she can help you a little bit?
Absolutely. I'm actually just when I saw the word transition, it really hit home, because I'm definitely in a transition period. Been working retail for about over 30 years, and trying to make a transition. I want to go into the insurance business, believe it or not. And I'm kind of in the process of doing that, so I will probably have a lot of questions as I go forward. But I one thing that really hit home when you said flipping your switch and trying to go from doing retail in that comfort zone for 30-some-odd years and then flipping a switch when you're not in the comfort zone doing commission and so forth. So, I don't know if I have a specific question about it, except, it's a little scary.
Ruth, you want to jump in here?
Well, one thing, Robert, that crosses my mind is to be able to flip your switch, lots of times you have to have a foundation that you're working from. And that's, you know, the amount of security that you need, whether it's money, food and clothing, that kind of thing. And so to be able to structure your life enough to feel secure before you make the leap, when you were talking about going into a commission role, you probably would want to have enough savings to be able to carry you a number of months. And again, depending on the relationship you have with the new company and their commission schedule and how they support their trainees, so to speak, would make a big difference in the numbers that you would need, you know, to continue the lifestyle that you could be satisfied with, even though it may be less than you'd like in a temporary, for a temporary few months. But does that ring true for you, that you think part of your transition is building enough security so that you can be willing to take that leap and flip the switch, so to speak, to a commission position?
Well, I think presently, what I'm attempting to do is go through the testing and get started with them as I'm working a full-time job management position.
Yeah, which, so keeping your security, so to speak.
A little challenging. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah. It sounds like a good plan, though, to keep secure.
Yeah, it's a little challenging time-wise. You know,
yeah.
A little challenging time-wise.
But you can see the end in sight. It's for a limited amount of time. If you're unsuccessful in terms of making the transition and being able to work a commission position in the insurance business, then you haven't thrown out so-called the baby with the bathwater, so that you still have your retail position until you know that it's a good fit for you, too. Because you know how things look from the front end. They look quite different than after you've tried things out for a while.
Right. I think there comes a comfort zone at some point where you know that there will be an income when you can make the switch completely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I think it's you know, your feeling about being uncomfortable making this shift is, you know, that's just perfectly normal because you, like you said, you have this 30 years of comfort doing one thing and then jumping into something else, which sounds like you feel fairly confident about that you'll be able to be successful at it, but there's that gap of time where things are going to be a little tenuous for a while. So, I mean, that's a normal feeling, but to have a goal and, as Ruth said, to have your backup plan in place, I mean, a lot of people aren't able to do that. They just are out of a job and then they have to wing it. But,
yeah.
You know, you have the luxury of taking your own sweet time getting there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the good thing that you have in place, too, is since jobs are slower to come by and probably the insurance industry is not hopping as much as it would have been 2-3 years ago for a trainee or somebody starting in, it's nice to be able to take one step at a time instead of leaping in.
Right.
And
right.
So right now,
okay.
Robert, are you? Do you have like a schedule? Do you have a routine you're doing so you know when you want to be done with all this? Do you have that in place? You know, like a schedule.
Yes, I do. I do have a time frame. I don't know that I'm on schedule, but I do have a time frame. And it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult with a crazy schedule,
Right, and I think that's a really good point, is that even though you make a plan or you have an idea of the timetable, you need to be flexible. Because, again, what you think and what reality presents itself are two different things, and to not get down on yourself if things take a little bit longer, but having that patience and that trust and keep taking action towards your goal. And eventually it will materialize, even though it may take an extra 6 months, year, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
because it is your schedule, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said you had to do it in a certain amount of time. So if you, you know, take a break or get ahead or whatever, as long as you know what your when the end is, you know, it sounds like you're on the right track. Wouldn't you say, Ruth?
Yes. I think the key here under foundation is to sustain your health and well-being, right, while you're making the transition, and so that it means to reduce your stress, to trust that things will work out, but it's not on your timetable. It's more on life's timetable. So that's where we get real impatient and frustrated and whatever. We want to push life along and think we have more control than we do.
I think, Ruth, this reminds me of something, because I'm notorious for, like, rushing because I know I can work really quickly, but the rest of the world's not at my on my schedule. So usually I'm like a year ahead of where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get there because I'm not in sync. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So, but it's not a bad thing, because then I'm like ready. I'm really ready when the opportunity presents itself. So, you know, I just have to try not to be frustrated, because I'm just in a different place time-wise on the calendar than where I want to be. But, you know, I just have to accept that.
Yeah, and because, Robert, you've done the planning, you've created the direction that you want, now you can see the VW bugs on the road, right? You can see the opportunities because you're focused and paying attention. And so then when they present themselves, you can react quickly. If you hadn't done all this pre-work and know what you wanted, what was important to you, and what direction you would like to go next related to your paid work, then if you hadn't done it, you wouldn't see the VW bugs, in other words, the opportunities on the road, because
right.
you're not paying attention and focused on them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you continue on your path, because it sounds like you're on the right track, and you just have to be, like Ruth said, keep a balance in your personal life and, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. And
have some fun along the way, right?
Yeah, have fun along the way, and you'll get there at exactly
the right
time.
And a few adventures.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You'll get there then. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for the advice.
Okay, bye-bye. Uh-huh. Well, that's a good example of a lot of people are going back to school nowadays and wondering, how am I going to do this? You know, how can I work full-time and go to school, because I know my job's going to go away at some point? And it's risky, and it's scary, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, there's so much uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in that kind of neutral zone, as William Bridges has talked
mm-hmm.
about in his work that has been around for years, is that it's unsettling. And because,
mm-hmm.
again, you may have all the ideas in the world, but the world isn't cooperating right now, then, you know, it can set you off balance quite a bit.
Right.
So, yeah, it's hard to trust right now.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Well, I think we're going to take a couple-minute break, and then we'll come back and take some more calls. And if anyone would like to talk to Ruth about career counseling, that'd be great. Otherwise, if you just have a general issue or challenge in your life that you want some help with, I'd be more than happy to coach you through that. So, I don't know, Ruth, what do you think? That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay.
See what the needs are.
Yeah, I don't actually have the signal yet that we can take a break.
Well, let's keep going till you get the
okay.
signal.
Okay. Well, no, I think we're fine right now. So we'll sign off for a break, and we'll be right back. And thank you so much for listening.
We're on the threshold of a new frontier. A new world is finally here. The guides of fascination and imagination. Love leads the way. We're on the verge of a new sensation. The awakening comes. on what your eyes can see. You're finally here. These are
everyone, this is Coach Brenda, and tonight I have with me a career coach, Ruth Rounds. She's based in Minneapolis, and she's been taking calls regarding career transition and how to maintain balance in your life when you're going through a situation like that. And I just want to remind you what the call-in numbers are. Area code 530-413-4515. Another one is area code 530-413-4520. And, of course, you can, if you're on Skype, it's BBS Radio. So we've been enjoying a conversation about careers and transitions, and now I just wanted to tell you a little bit more about my coaching practice. And my coaching practice is called Your Life is an Adventure, and I really do believe that life is an adventure. And my own life has certainly been one. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here on the radio tonight. I know that a lot of people take life very seriously, but I have probably a little bit more of a playful attitude about it. And I do realize that, you know, really what happens in my life are my choices, and I'm not always pleased with the decisions I've made. But, you know, once you make them, you need to just move forward, realizing that you can change your direction at any time. And as we talked about earlier, I have this concept of flipping your switch. So if you're having one of those days where you're really down in the dumps and feeling really crummy, why not feel better? Why not just change your mind and decide that your day isn't that bad after all? And I think that all started, my late husband David was, I came home from work and I was really, really crabby one day. And he's like in the kitchen and he's real peppy and real happy. And I said, what are you so happy about? Why are you so happy? And he said, why not? And I thought, oh, well, that's a great way of looking at things, because I wanted to just get him into my wallow in my crabby day with me, and he wasn't going to buy it. So I think once you're aware that, you know, your life is an adventure and whatever direction you take is okay, and if it's not working out, you can always just, you know, rewind and go another direction. And with that opportunity is always the opportunity of feeling better about something. So my motto is reach for the thought that feels the best, which, you know, isn't my original thought, but I've read it and I think it really works well, because as soon as you get in that mindset where things are not working and you're feeling sorry for yourself, a better way to look at things would just be to shift your energy and quit being the victim and just go with it and smile, and you can fake it. As Ruth said earlier, fake it till you make it. Right, Ruth?
Right. You know, what I love about your work, Brenda, is that you can really, you encourage people to laugh at themselves and keep perspective. And this whole flipping your switch is a really great visual to have, to just keep enjoying, even though life can be difficult at times.
Uh-huh. Well, it is difficult. It's not easy, and you just have to understand that there's two ways of, you know, you can stay with the way you feel, which makes you feel awful, or you can really shift your thinking and just say, you know what, I don't like feeling like this. I'm choosing not to feel like it. I mean, this is a real conscious, it really takes a lot of effort, I think, to get this nailed down. And for a long time, I was wearing a hair elastic around my wrist that I was snapping. Every time I started feeling crummy about something or sorry for myself, I'd snap it. And that was my signal to make myself aware of what I was doing to myself, because, you know, why would you feel crummy if you didn't have to?
Well, what you're reminding me of is how much we're creatures of habit. And so when you were snapping yourself with your elastic rubber band around your wrist, you know, you were working on changing the habit of the way that you were thinking about things.
Right, and I mentioned earlier about there's so many people who are, they're either the victims or they're the angry people, right? And I remember waiting in line once at the post office, and the line was really long, and everyone's, you know, complaining and whatnot. And I just told the woman in front of me, I said, the building had copper rain gutters. I mean, how often do you see something like that? And it had pillars, and it was beautiful. And I just started pointing that out to her. And so then more than one person started looking up at the ceiling, which I just was cracking up, because they were all totally distracted from waiting in the line and being crabby and enjoying that we were in the shade and it was a beautiful building and aren't we lucky to live here, you know, kind of thing. I'm not saying I'm going to have that feeling at Walmart, but, you know, there's always something that you can distract yourself with so you're not focusing on the other angry people, because I guarantee you can absolutely shift their energy by calling it to their attention in a subtle way like I did. And I did that on purpose, because I was enjoying the building, but I wasn't enjoying listening to what everybody was saying around me, and I wasn't willing to jump in.
Sounds like you're good at changing the environment, like you said, and even though you don't really have control over all these other people, you were able to influence them.
Right, just like when you're, you know, one person, and we've all seen this at work, you know, you're sitting around laughing and enjoying your coworkers and something, and one person comes in with a scowl on their face or swearing or, you know, complaining about something, and you all shut up and listen to whatever they are saying, all this yucky stuff, and then your whole day is, like, totally changed. And that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not fair to everyone. So, you know, a lot of people wouldn't call them on it, but I think if you I choose to ignore it and just carry on and not let them color my day, because I do have control over how I feel, and they obviously, they're choosing to feel like that, and I don't have to go with it. I don't have to go with them.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're really good with helping people as a coach to have them view their life kind of as a movie, to be able to step out of it and observe what they're doing so that they can consciously make a decision to flip that switch that you were talking about.
Right. I mean, if people don't, like, just like I said, I wasn't going to get engaged in what these people were talking about. I was choosing to live in Brenda's world. And I think if you're able to do that and just observe what's going on, because it's really obvious. It's kind of, it is like watching a movie. It's like, look at what happened to this nice group of people when that, you know, person walked in the room. And, you know, now everybody feels crummy or crappy or whatever. And, you know, I'm not going to go there, and I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm choosing to ignore their energy, I guess, is what I'm saying. And not let it impact
mine. Can you tell us a little bit more about this practice that you have as part of your coaching about energy levels?
Well, the coaching program I went through is really all about energetic levels, and there's 7 of them. They have some similarity to the chakra system, if listeners are familiar with that. And so the lowest level of energy would be the victim energy, and the next level up is the angry person. So I think that the majority of people function in one of those two levels the majority of the time. I mean, they might sail up into a 3, which is where you're accepting of it and you're just dealing with it as best you can, right? And then your energy can go up higher from there. But I think most of the people that you spend your time with, and certainly that you see waiting in line at the grocery store, are in one of those two levels. And we all have friends, or hopefully we don't have them as friends anymore, that are those people with the black cloud. And they're those woe is me people. They're the, you know, everything goes wrong in their life. And they're the classic level, you know, first level of energy, which is the victim energy. And one of the fun things that I tell people is, and I'm not sure where I heard this, not my original idea either, that you're the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So that would include certainly people in your household and friends and people at work. And you know right away who those people are at the level 1 and level 2 energy. And those are the people that you need to put some distance between them and yourself, or it's amazing how much it affects you. And you know it when you're talking to them. You know it. You're not unaware of their energy and how it makes you feel. And they want you to be sympathetic to them. And by doing that, you're kind of getting hooked into their energy. You are getting hooked into their energy. You know, you're kind of feeding it. So, those are the people that most of us spend the most time around, and it's unfortunate. But you don't have to stay. You don't have to be around them. You know, you can hold your own energy and seek out people that have a more positive vibe. You know, in the 60s when people said bad vibes.
Yeah.
Well, they were, you know, just the way they said it sounded odd, but certainly those are those people I'm talking about. Those are the bad vibe people. And you don't want to spend time around it, because by doing that, it lowers your own energy.
So you mentioned the first 3 levels are victim, angry people, and then kind of more of an accepting level,
right,
level 3.
You know,
what happens when you get to a higher level?
Oh, well, then
4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I mean, the third level of energy is where you're feeling, you know, you're cooperative, you have that responsibility, and, you know, you kind of forgive people for acting the way they do. And then you move up into, you know, being compassionate and, you know, I'm going to say being, you know, you're able to be of service to people. You know, someone at level 1 energy in that victim mode is not going to be of service to anybody but themselves. So anyway, we have a caller, Alexandra from California is on the line.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there. How are you?
Pretty good. What would you like us to work on with you today?
Well, I'm going through an interesting stage in my life, I notice, and I just wanted, you know, if you could talk to me a little bit about it.
Uh-huh.
And what it is about is I tend to, like, hold my anger and not even be in touch with my anger.
Uh-huh.
But what I've noticed is I've come into my own and become more individuated and clearer about who I am. I tend to, I don't know, I feel like there are a lot of angry people around me, and I just want to be angry back. And in a way, you know what I mean? And in a way, it's exciting for me because I can, like, feel my anger and feel myself and where I stand and where my boundaries are and all this. But, you know, I'm imagining that at some point, you know, either the people who are around me who are angry will leave and I'll just be with people who are more happy.
Uh-huh.
and also I can still claim my anger and use it when I need it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, actually, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like you took back your power.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry, I did all excited.
That's what you did. I think the way you made it sound was like it was a bad thing, but I think you took back your power. You're owning that I do have a right to be angry when I choose to be, but,
right.
You know.
But I don't want to turn into an angry person, you know what I mean?
No, I think that it's just part of the process of taking back your power.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear, like where I am, because it feels to me like a process, right? So if you look at it as a process,
uh-huh.
It's an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah, no, you're totally on the right track because you've shifted from, you're not in level one or level two energy anymore. You're above that. I mean, you know your boundaries. You're like a grown up now. You know you.
Yeah, I feel like I've become a grown up. That's a good way to put it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's interesting that I'm 59 and I've come into being a grown up.
Right.
But
kudos to you for doing that. And I think now that you're aware of that, you have your what you're willing to accept in your life and what you're not willing to accept. I mean, just like you said, by drawing the boundary and keeping the people out of your life that aren't bringing you the energy that you need where you are now, you're going to be able to, other people are going to show up in your life that are going to bring you, you're going to meet people at much higher levels of energy that are just going to be like, oh, I didn't know I could feel like this, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
going to
be really
so
nice.
I feel like I'm changing. It's a big transition for me to
hold
my
boundaries.
Yeah, I can
hear it in your voice.
Yeah, hold my boundaries and say, I understand what you say, and this is how I feel, and it doesn't really seem to jive between you and me
uh-huh.
right now. But,
right.
You know, that's okay, but I just need to let you know where I stand. So
and that's fine.
It's a good practice for me.
And I think those people that, you know, that you've been around that are angry or whatever will fall away because you're no fun to play with anymore, Alexandra.
Exactly.
You are no fun at all.
Exactly.
For them. You know what?
Yeah.
You're not any fun anymore.
Exactly.
They're not getting any mileage
because...
out of their relationship with you, and nor are you with them.
Right, because I found my voice. You know, I realize when you say you found your voice, really what I'm saying is I found my power. I just got that the other day.
You found your power, yep.
I found my power because I found my voice.
You're definitely on the right track.
And speaking, you know, what I feel and where I need to set my boundaries and what isn't okay for me and what works for
mm-hmm.
me and what doesn't work
mm-hmm.
for me. And I
Absolutely.
Think my mom was very passive and, you know, she was kind of withdrawn and depressed.
VBSRadio.com. Hi, everyone. This is Brenda. We seem to have lost our signal there for a few minutes. Anyway, I was enjoying talking to Alexandra about her aha moment, realizing that she was starting to feel really angry and crabby, and actually she was she's in the right place, so... I don't know what else I can say for that. I think it was a great moment, and
the other
I enjoyed...
thing I heard, yeah.
Ruth, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said, I also heard you say about she was no longer tolerant of people.
And yeah, very much so. Yeah, and so she was thinking that she was probably being a bitch, and in reality she was taking really good care of herself right now, so that was great news.
And boy, you were able to flip her switch. She was happy about her progress and the life direction that she was going.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, I think our time is up, and I'm looking really forward to next week and having more callers and getting the kinks worked out of this program. And Ruth, thank you so much for your coaching tonight. I really appreciated hearing more about your practice, as I'm sure everyone else did. And if you go to the meetingbrenda.com website, you'll find Ruth's under Great Coaches. You'll find her website and a little biography about her, so you can contact her if you'd love to work with her. And I guarantee that you would. And thank you, everyone, for sharing your lives with us tonight. And I'm really looking forward to next week and more opportunities to work with you. And just remember, life is an adventure, and there's definitely more than one road to the finish. So thank you all again, and good night.